to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Over the years, here on Full Power Living, you've heard me and countless guests talk about different ways of living and transforming your life. And we've talked about the importance of living your life from the inside out, changing things in yourself before you'll see changes in your outer world. And we've also presented spiritually based approaches to transformation. But never before have we had a guest who shares step by step a spiritually based transformation process guided by your own higher self that you can read and do for yourself. Alaya Dow is my guest today, and we're talking about Seven Cups of Consciousness. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. Be sure to chat with us as you listen to the show, either on emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. You can also subscribe through iTunes, and we have a toll-free number for you to call and ask questions, make comments, 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. Alaya Dow has been an alternative healthcare practitioner for over 20 years. She's a sound healer, an energy practitioner, a doctor of oriental medicine, and a spiritual intuitive. And with all of that information, she's helped thousands of people with her tools, her meditations, her energy balancing sessions, and her incredible music. Over the past 20 years, she's developed a formula to manifest intentions, clear blocks, and move into greater happiness. And after she used this technique with herself for 3 years, she manifested her beloved partner and her business skyrocketed. She found a perfect home and she created a life free of fear and worry. And that's when she began sharing her technique with others, helping people to release their blocks, access their highest potential, and find a deep inner peace and calm. Alaya Dow, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yes. So let's start with the story you have in the beginning of your book, Seven Cups of Consciousness, that talks about how you got into this work following a sound healing session you had for yourself. You called it being hit with a cosmic 2x4.
It was like getting x-ray glasses to other dimensions and feeling other beings, angels, guides. My empathic sensitivity went through the roof, and it was incredibly comforting but overwhelming at the same time. And I think all of us at different points in time in our life have mini or big enlightenment awakening experiences, and in 2001 it was definitely a big cosmic 2x4 awakening experience during a sound healing session. And then it took me about 3 to 5 years to really get my feet on the ground to integrate that level of awareness and maintain that level of sensitivity with a non-reactive, compassionate stance.
Boy, do I relate to that. I remember years ago I went to see someone and had an aura reading, and she told me the story of a twin that I'd had in another lifetime who had given his life looking for me in the snows of Siberia. And she suggested that I contact him and told me that he was my voice and my energy. And after a week of working to contact with him, I found myself at almost midnight on a ladder in my living room, painting the ceiling, having worked, taken care of my year-old child, gone to graduate school, and bicycled halfway across town that day. And I just sat down and said, "This is too much. I can't do this."
I love that. Copy, paste, and send that over my way. That's great.
So I really know what you're talking about. So
yeah.
I wanted to go through a few of the basics so that you who are listening can kind of get the whole basis for the concept. So, Alaya, in seven cups of consciousness, you say that those cups are simple statements of truth, and they're also meditations. So when you're talking about the seven cups, it's like, this is one truth, this is another truth, this is another truth, and you can meditate on them. Is that correct?
Yes, and you can actually get your energy fields to embody that awareness, that greater degree of empowerment or connection.
Can you explain that just a little bit more?
Yeah. So basically, I'll just give an example. The very first concept, first cup, is you live in a multidimensional reality. And in these other dimensions, we have aspects of ourselves. I call it like your higher self or your energy self. And so I've created meditations that talk to your energy fields that help you get in touch with your higher self. So it's very simple, basic steps. And I'm not directing the guidance to your mind, but more to your energy self. And as your energy self comes online, then you can consciously, emotionally, and mentally grasp that awareness of these other dimensions and the resources that you do have access to in these other planes of reality.
Thank you. And so those ways of talking you call a protocol, an energetic practice, and that you can help release old patterns and also access higher consciousness. Do I understand that correctly?
Absolutely. And some people might not understand the protocol, so you could call them exercises, you could call them prayers. And so in every process, protocol, prayer, exercise, it is connecting with different aspects of you. And the piece that's different about my work is that, or this work, it's not my work, is that we are specifically asking for our energy self to do the work in a higher plane. We're not using our mind. We're not using the physical dimension. We're only using our imagination for the very first step. And then we really let go and let some other part take over and do the work up high, which then reflects into the physical plane.
I'm trying to think whether that's more difficult or less difficult to do. In one way, you're turning it over to your higher self. In another way, though, you have to turn it loose. So it depends.
Well, if you imagine going to a restaurant and placing the order with the waiter, you do let go of the waiter's pant leg. And you do trust that the chef is going to get your order right and send it to you. And so that chef is your higher self. The waiter that takes your order is your mind, and you simply make a request with your mind, and then you let it go, and then you let it appear.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to understand it. You also talk about this bright river of light inside of us, and I did take some time myself to imagine it, and I could see it was like the water was, or the flow was running up against itself, almost like a rapids, because the energy was going in two directions, basically.
But I'd never
heard about a river of light that goes down on the inside or the top side of your spine. So can you tell us a little bit more about the river of light, the divine line, I think you call it?
Yeah, when I had my enlightenment experience in 2001, I was very aware of this river of light flowing on the front of my spine, and then I was also aware of a river of light flowing through the spine around the spinal cord. And in that moment, I had the discernment, the awareness that my soul essence is a river of light literally coming down the front of the spine in the body, but I'm not part of the body. And that the body is a nature spirit. It has its own unique consciousness, and it too has a river of light, divine line, that actually flows through the spine. And so when we as soul riders connect with that divine line, river of light, on the front of the spine, we find a greater degree of connection, peace, empowerment. All of our resources are flowing in this inner river, and you are absolutely correct to discern that in that inner river of light on the front of the spine, the energy goes down and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that it was fairly easy to do once I had the concept. That was great. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about us having helpers. And one of the other points you make is that we're never alone because We have angelic guides, and they go and come, and then we have a team that's with us from the time of our birth. Will you talk about those two aspects of us?
Yeah, as children, we may have remembered that we had imaginary friends. And those imaginary friends are actually part of a core group that I call the team. They are not aspects of you or fragments of your soul. They are their own individual being, soul, essence, residing in another dimension, hopefully buffering energy for you. And so when you connect with your team and you invite them to hold very particular vibrations or qualities inside themselves, then you end up feeling way more supported as you navigate the world. Your guides, on the other hand, they come and go depending on the needs within your journey. So when I go into a healing session, my healing guides show up. If I'm learning how to fly a plane, my flying guides show up. And so we always have our team with us 24/7, where our guides will come depending on what we need at the time.
Hey, it sounds very comforting. You know, I think so many people feel alone and lonely. Well, let's go. Cup number one now says that each one of us is a multidimensional being. And then we have this river of light that we've talked about. We also have a higher self, which is an aspect of each of us. And so talk about this divine line and how we utilize it to connect with and work with our higher self, this higher part of ourselves.
I really think of the divine line as step number one. If we can't get into that inner river of light, then we actually can't make an appropriate request. It'd be almost like wanting to send an email without being online or without having a wireless connection. And so step one is to train yourself, to pull yourself into this inner river. And fortunately, we have to breathe every few seconds in order to stay alive. And we can take a conscious breath, a conscious inhale, pulling ourselves into this inner river of light using our inhale, our intent, our imagination. We can also ask our energy self to bring all of our awareness into this inner river of light on the front of the spine. And as soon as we're in that place, we gain access to our higher self, our energy fields, and are able to make requests to be able to receive information or clarity or shift the energy of ourselves in a higher plane, which then in turn reflects into the physical. I think of the physical dimension as the surface of the mirror or the reflection of all of the other dimensions. So another key piece with this work is that we are not using the physical dimension to make physical changes. We're using the higher dimensions to make the changes up there, and that then reflects into the physical plane. So step one, pull yourself into your divine line. You immediately gain access to your energy self, your higher self. When I work with kids, I call it their super self. When I work with CEOs, I call it that aspect of them on the penthouse floor. When I work with engineers, I call it their hard drive. And so when you double-click on your hard drive, higher self, and you ask your hard drive, higher self, to open up the application of self-love, that part of you starts to do that, and then you start to feel the ripple of this self-love or clarity or whatever quality it is you're needing at the time.
So then, really, this process, you can, I know as you follow the seven cups, you're working with this process in different specific areas, but it sounds like you can use this in almost any area of life. If you're having a difficulty, if you want to open yourself up to something, is that so? This process is just
absolutely
a process.
Yeah, anything in your life, you can use this. When you are in relationship with people, if there's been a disagreement, you can invite your higher self to go have a chat with their higher self and really listen to what's being asked for and to resolve the conflict up high and then reflect the solution down to yourselves here in this realm. If you are financially struggling, you would actually employ what I talk about, the sixth cup. Your soul has gifts and wisdoms, and you want wisdom, and you want to use your gifts on yourself using your higher self. So every single area of your life can actually be plugged into an aspect of these seven cups.
Wow. And you say the more we use our higher self, the more effortless our lives will become. And so the higher self has a larger scope of perception, would you say? Therefore, when things are changed at that level, it's a more effective change, a more complete change? Would that be accurate?
I think so. Yeah. And when you get your higher self is linked with your energy field. So your higher self is the one using your energy fields in the most efficient way possible. Our mind can tap into our energy fields a little bit, but it's sort of like trying to use your pinky to move a log. It's not going to be very efficient. And so from my perspective, all of these protocols are really designed for the highest level of efficiency possible. So with your higher self, when you ask your higher self to do something, it's going to employ the energy fields. And we think of the energy fields almost like a muscle. The more you work your energy fields, the stronger they get. Just like when you go to the gym and you keep working out, you keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so every single request that you do gets you stronger at an energetic level. In the very beginning of doing this work, I would literally fall asleep in the middle of a protocol because all of my energy was being diverted off of my mental awareness, even off my body to a certain degree, and being rediverted into my energy fields. My energy fields would work very, very hard. I would go into this sort of sleepy trance, and then as soon as the work was done in a higher realm, I would wake up again. And so a lot of the times people find that happening when they listen to these meditations within 20 seconds, 30 seconds, some part of them falls asleep while another part of them comes online.
Hmm. So I'm really impressed listening to you how much more there is to us than we normally think. We've got our higher self, our energetic self, our body diva, as you call it, our body nature spirit. We've got our mind. That's the multi-dimensionality you're talking about, is it?
It is to a certain degree. We've got the higher self, which exists in another dimension. Your divine line also exists in another dimension other than the physical. Your body exists in the physical plane, but it too has an energy self, and I call that the body diva's higher self. And then you've got your team, you're absolutely correct, they too exist in another dimension. So we're really tapping into the resources and the aspects of ourselves, our bodies, and our team in these other planes to shift our physical experience, our consciousness, our belief systems, our behaviors, clear blocks. It's a very empowering experience to tap into.
You know, I read your book, but I'm still sitting here sort of in amazement because so many human beings feel so alone. Like, here I am on this earth without anybody to love me. And yet, when you're aware of what you're talking about, you aren't ever alone. There are individuals endeavoring or actually loving you all the time. You're really in a rich environment, not an empty one.
Absolutely. And this morning in my meditation, I was tuning into my body diva nature spirit and so connecting and feeling this incredibly intimate experience that I have with this nature spirit. I am so not alone. There's another being right around me all the time. And so when we start connecting with this nature spirit, body deva, horseshoe ride vehicle that you're in, it too has its own unique consciousness. And that is actually one of the very first intimate relationship we have is with the essence, the light that flows within us. But then our secondary intimate relationship that we have is the one we have with our body deva. And a lot of the times we will yearn for a beloved partner, but what we're really yearning for is to actually establish a healthy, co-creative connection with the nature spirit that we're riding. That is our first lover on some level.
Hmm. That's really interesting. My aunt, who died in, 10 or 12 years ago, I discovered toward the end of her life that she belonged to a religion that believes that the body literally reconstructs itself during the second coming of Christ. And so when I went to her funeral, nobody was crying because they expected her to come back. And when you talked about the body, Deva, you you say it's the same, we use the same, or we have the same body life after life, which seems somewhat similar.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not familiar with that religion. I should check it out, because a lot of these concepts that I came to were really on my own, as opposed to studying ancient texts or other belief systems. But from my perspective, we do ride with the same nature spirit. That nature spirit is going to change form depending on its evolution and our evolution. And when we consciously share our gifts, our pearls, our wisdom, model right energy to our body deva, it accelerates the evolutionary process of the nature spirit. And again, from my perspective, eventually the nature spirit body deva will reach full ascension and will no longer need a rider, a soul. And that's part of the journey too. Now that's going to take lifetimes, maybe thousands and thousands of years. But when we recognize that our body might have abandonment issues because of all the times we left it, or it feels like it has to almost pause its incarnation between the lives where we are riding in the physical human form, then we die, we go over to the other side, we continue our growth and our evolution, we come back and we ride again in the body, and then we take a whole lifetime to update our body of all of the things that we learned between lives. And so one of the meditations that I have is about giving your body deva your upgrade, your update, so that the two of you can be at a similar level and your body isn't lagging a few steps behind.
That really hits me as being very loving. We're up to our first break. I'm talking today with Alaya Dow, who is author of Cups of Consciousness, about how you can change your life by connecting to higher realms. Alaya Dow has more for you next on Full Power Living.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Please sign up now at emotionalpro.com to be on our mailing list. We'd like to send you our bi-weekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, we're waking up in the spiritual marketplace with Murphy as our guide. I'll be talking with Fran Shaw about ideas from her book, Lord Have Murphy, which will, she says, gives us a look beneath the golden robes of the spiritually well-endowed, which I think is going to be quite full of humor next week. That's October 29th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And my birthday is actually on Thanksgiving Day this year, so we're putting together a very special program for that day. You can start your Thanksgiving Day with a heartfelt review of my last 72 years. I hope you'll enjoy that. Compliments of my wonderful son, Jonathan Lambert. In future shows, we're going to be exploring negotiating the emotions of money, grief recovery from pet loss, and we'll be investigating a unique program for keeping new mothers and babies safe and healthy in the jungles of Ecuador and Peru. Thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Well, my guest today is Alea Dow. She's a sound healer, energy practitioner, spiritual intuitive, and now author of Seven Cups of Consciousness. So, Alea, I wanted to draw attention to the fact that you offer meditations on your website for readers of your book. And in fact, every weekday, you record a transformative 7-minute audio meditations and make them available through your website, which is cupsofconsciousness.com. Will you tell us about this work, please?
Yeah, the book actually has 14 audio meditations, and there is a link on page 6 that gives you access to these online resources. And so with every single chapter and concept, I have a meditation or several meditations that help your energy fields embody the concepts. I also have images of all of my terms, a YouTube that shows you how to surf the waves of emotion, and actually I'm starting a book circle, and we're going to do 8 of them, and it's going to be a live recorded webinar over the phone and internet, and people can go deeper into these concepts, ask me questions, and I can share more pearls that go with each one of these concepts. So just a bit of a support group for these new ways of thinking and experiencing reality. And then the daily meditations, daily cups of consciousness, I started recording in 2009, and they are 7 to 10 minute audio meditations with energetic protocols, toning, visualization, background music, very soothing, relaxing, and really for the energy self, to get your energy self connected to your higher source, and to also use what I call the energetic weather to spiritually grow and evolve. A lot of the times we'll use the physical dimension and the challenges in the physical dimension as our primary mechanism for growth. But when we stop employing the outer world for our growth and development and we start using our inner world for growth and development, it gets so much easier and way more efficient and far more pleasant. And so these daily meditations are really designed to help people use their energy self, their higher self, to attain very particular vibrations that they're wanting to embody in this incarnation.
Wow, that's a lot. And you're, I mean, it really is. You're offering quite a comprehensive support there for people to open all this up for themselves, which I think is a tremendous gift. Your book, it can be obtained on your website and where else?
People can actually go to Amazon, New World Library, or Barnes & Noble to purchase it. Right now I'm not selling it on the website just because I don't want to have to fill all those orders, so I'm going to let Amazon and Barnes & Noble do the heavy lifting. And feel free to check that out. It's also available in Kindle format, and I'm in the process of recording the audiobook as well, which should be available maybe in December. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Good. In time for Christmas. So let me just mention that the religion that my aunt belonged to, I remembered what it is. It's called Christadelphian, which is C-H-R-I. Yes, I hadn't either, but there it was in my own family.
I will check it out. That's intriguing.
Yeah, Christadelphian. And you can find out about it online. Let's see. You know, in the 70s, I learned from Seth that looking at what's happening in our day-to-day life tells us what's going on in our subconscious. But the further step is what you say, that is that when you shift your energy using your higher self, you shift your outer reality. One of the things you say is when you take responsibility for your internal reality, reactions, and emotions, you move into the seat of power. Can you explain more about that?
Beautifully said. That is absolutely true. And when we don't take responsibility for the energy that we're holding inside ourselves, we're blaming other people, then we're essentially in the victim. So when we take responsibility, we move into a place of personal empowerment. The more responsibility we hold that is truly ours, the more empowered we're going to feel. But if I'm giving responsibility to other people to embrace me, accept me, appreciate me, love me, I'm going to start feeling a lot of anxiety because all of my needs are now, I'm looking externally for it. if I retrieve that responsibility and sort of fire everybody in my life, you know what? It's not your job to respect me, honor me, love me, connect with me. That is my job. And I start doing that deep inside. I start fulfilling my own needs internally, moving into greater degrees of empowerment, self-confidence. Now I'm not looking for validation externally. And I'm able to model a strong, coherent field. So the more responsibility we hold that is truly ours, the stronger our energy fields get, the more of a buffer we have around ourselves, the less of a victim, and also the more clarity we start to feel. So go ahead.
Well, I learned from Lazara some years ago that responsibility is one of the seven building blocks of self-esteem as well. So I've worked hard to take responsibility in the material realm, so to speak. But I think you're suggesting we go even further, that we stop taking responsibility for other people and we stop giving other people responsibility for us.
Absolutely. And then we also need to bring in the body and the team. In the very beginning of the book, I talk about the sacred trinity. And in Christianity, they say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I kind of reframe it and say your higher self, your soul essence energy, your body, and your team. So the Father would actually be your higher self, the Son would be your body, and the Holy Ghost would be your team. And when we get all three of those energies holding personal responsibility for meeting our own individual needs, then we move into much deeper empowerment, and then we actually create the manifestation of that internal reality in our outer world.
Thank you. You know, another area that has interested me for the last 40-some-odd years is what I call energy sapping, what can also be called codependence or manipulation. And I was intrigued that you seem to indicate that codependence could be going on multidimensionally, if you will, that you could be codependent in other ways than right here on the earth. Is that so?
Yeah, and I actually think of it from the place of if you're energetically attached, desiring, and responsible for other people's journeys, then that's going to show up in the physical realm. And so if at an energetic level, we're only attached and desiring for our own reality, only responsible for that, then the codependent patterns in the physical plane are going to go away. And there is a very simple step to break codependence, and that is, and it's a little bit of a heresy statement, but you literally lift all of your attachment and your desire for everyone's reality off of them, which means you don't want people to be happy. You don't want for other people's peace, respect, or integrity. They don't need to be kind. We hold total attachment and desire and responsibility for us being that way inside ourselves. So I'm only responsible, attached, and desiring for the vibration I carry in my divine line. Then we get the body to do that and the team, and now we're in a healthy co-creative stance. We cannot be codependent with anyone.
But that's not to say that we don't care about them. I mean, I've...
No.
Go ahead.
It's actually the deepest level of caring, because the moment I'm attached to somebody else's journey, I'm now projecting what I value onto them instead of seeing their deep wisdom and allowing them to value what's appropriate for their process. And then if I am attached to somebody's process, I'm then going to take responsibility for it. Now, again, I'm not seeing their courage, their capacity, their wisdom. So now I'm disempowering them. That's not kind. That's not loving. So if I'm only attached to me being in a state of peace and happiness, I'm only responsible for that. I would never dare be responsible for another person. Then I'm able to model the solution to them. If they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. And I'm able to hold a compassionate, loving space for whatever they are in. That is healthy co-creative service. And I walk people through these steps actually at the very end of the book of how to be attached, desiring, and responsible for your own reality, creating a strong, coherent field of transformation, which is actually unconditional love.
I really like that. I can't tell you the number of discussions, we'll call them, I have had with other people when I say, I'm sorry, I just don't take responsibility for other people. This is your life. You're creating it. If I start to tell you what to do, I'm treating you as if you can't handle your own life, and especially since you set it up yourself. I'd be robbing you of your opportunity to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah, and my one-liner on that one is, I'm holding a safe and compassionate space for you in whatever you need to be in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll model the solution, send you information, but hold vigil for you. And I think of vigil as, I am remembering your essence even in the moments when you forget it.
Oh, interesting. Now, I don't totally understand. You use the word model a lot, and I'm not sure I totally understand what you mean by modeling this for someone else.
So if I'm in the presence of someone who's in a place of self-hatred, I'm going to immediately bring my awareness into my divine line, and I'm going to feel self-love for the light that flows within me. I'm going to invite my body deva, nature spirit, to do the same. I'm going to invite my team to also hold self-love for their light that flows within them. Now, I'm not putting love on this person. I'm modeling the solution of self-love inside myself, creating this strong, coherent field of transformation. And so, as they sit in self-hatred, I am going to hold a safe, compassionate space for them to be whatever, in whatever they need to be in, and I'm modeling the solution. And so when we model the solution, then people actually start to change because they're being exposed to a higher vibration. They naturally start to activate their own vibration of self-love inside themselves to the degree that they choose. So that's the modeling right energy.
So I have this memory. One time I was sitting in my office with a young woman. I'm a psychotherapist, and we had an earthquake. And I sat very calmly through the earthquake. And when it was over, the young woman said to me, I've been dreaming, hoping that if I was in an earthquake, I would be with you, Eileen. Because I knew then that I wouldn't run screaming out of the room the way I would do if I were on my own. And she had sat calmly through the whole thing. I think that's like a picture of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. You were modeling the solution to her. You weren't attached to her being calm. You were only attached to you being calm, which created a strong, coherent field. Had you been attached to her being calm, your coherent field wouldn't have had that transformative effect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, I hadn't. It just popped into my mind. It's a good example. So now we come to the territory of paying attention to our emotions. You say to do that in order to ascertain what challenges we're facing, and then we can use those challenges to grow. So I wondered if you'd explain for our listeners how we do that with emotions, how you do that with emotions.
I think of emotions like an indicator or the cards on the table. And so when we do our inner assessment, right, it's like every day you wake up and you go, okay, how am I feeling? What's going on in my inner terrain? How's my body feeling? What are my emotions? That gives us an indicator of what we actually are wanting to embody. So if I'm feeling anxiety when I wake up in the morning, my soul is actually really wanting to attain a vibration of peace and calm. But I'm doing the opposite until I wake up enough to realize that I'm actually after a very particular vibration. It's the solution for the challenge that's being presented. And I have what is called a flip-it chart. So anxiety, my soul is determined to attain peace and calm. I'm going to use my higher self to activate the vibration of peace and calm. And then I start to shift, and I'm now practicing what I intend to master instead of doing the opposite. So use your emotions simply as indicators, and then take it to the next step, figure out what the solution, the opposite would be, and then invite your higher self to activate that.
Okay. All right. It's interesting, as I've worked with emotions, and I realize I have not been working specifically with the higher self, I see emotions as tools that we have that indicate what changes we need to make. And I can hear echoes of that in your explanation also. So
yeah, I think we're saying probably the same we're probably seeing the same thing. And the other way that I use emotions is whatever emotion you're in, instead of judging it as good or bad, actually use it like fuel and use it to surf to a higher vibrational ground. And I actually have a YouTube on the online resource page of showing people how to use grief, loss, sadness, and surf it into joy. And I think of emotion as energy in motion. The question is, are we going to use it like fuel to propel ourselves vibrationally into a higher frequency?
Yes, I love that approach. Yes, I certainly agree with you on that. Well, we're up to our second break. You're listening to Full Power Living. And Leia has mentioned our gifts from our soul, but what would you do with gifts from your soul? Would claiming them make your life easier or more abundant or happier? We'll be talking about that when we return. We'll be right back.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
Well, in case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Alea Dow, who's author of Seven Cups of Consciousness, in which she lays out procedures, protocols for connecting yourself with the higher realms. So, Alea, you're headquartered for healing in the Santa Barbara area, I believe. So if someone wants to work with you, what's the best way for them to set that up?
I actually have two locations. I have an office in Santa Barbara and also a location in the Sierra Nevadas, Central California. And I work really over the phone with the majority of people. My in-person practice is pretty jammed, and I actually already have like a 3 to 4 month waiting list for new clients. So I would recommend that people first check out the daily meditations, the tall cups, read the book, see if it's their cup of tea, and then after working with these online resources for a few months, discern if a private session one-on-one is appropriate. We only have so many hours in the day, and so my private practice, fortunately, is pretty jammed, but I'm always open to taking new people if they have an understanding of the basic concepts, and then we can dive in and clear blocks. But the whole premise of the book and the online meditations, I think I have 1,200 online meditations now, is really giving people tools to shift themselves so that they don't need me. So check out the resources and see if it works for you.
That's really quite a gift, so that they don't need me. That's great.
Yes. My job is to make myself unemployed.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, not for about 1,000 years.
Right.
But hopefully then. Right.
I noticed a few months ago when I did something that brought my own empowerment up, that I had a similar surge in my therapy work like you're having. It's like suddenly people are showing up. I have to work now. I'm ready to go. Let's get busy. And I started working harder, faster, and pretty soon I'm going, wait a minute. You know, it happens that way. Whether you're a therapist or an alternative healer, when you empower yourself, your life actually starts working better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think of that as we are taking responsibility for supporting ourselves deep in our core and actually finding the support in the light, not looking externally for support or even asking our body to support us. It's I'm bringing my awareness into my divine line and I'm feeling how the light that flows within me is my primary support mechanism. And so when I get that, everything in my outer world starts to support me to the degree I'm supporting myself.
Mm, that's great. Now, in the advertisement, we were talking about kids. Can this material be used with children? Do you work with children?
I do work with kids. I love working with children. And I was actually chuckling during the ad section. I was like, oh, how funny. They're tuning in or I'm tuning in. And I had a dream a few weeks ago. And in the dream, I was working on the Seven Cups of Consciousness for Kids book, which is going to be the second book. And so the Seven Cups of Consciousness that I just wrote can be for the adults, but then teaching children how to come into their own divine line, how to be only responsible for their own energy, not taking on their parents' or their ancestors' stuff. And so that is, when I catch my breath after this book release, I will start working on that one. And I definitely do work with children in my private practice. And a lot of kids actually do my daily meditations and listen to my sound healing albums. And they're just such a joy to work with and so clear. And I get so much information. It's almost like my research of, okay, so how are you holding your energy fields? And what are you doing? And what if you did it this way? And so they're showing me information, which really is so inspiring and reminding.
Mm-hmm. Because essentially each of us brings this knowledge with us to the planet. We sort of lose track of it as we live our lives, would you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We forget. And then it's the process of remembering. And when we remember to a deeper degree than the time before. And in meditation, at one point, I was saying how remembering and forgetting is also a mechanism with our growth and our evolution. But we want to mind the gap. So I remember my essence on my inhale. I might forget it on my exhale and then remember it again on my next inhale or 20 breaths later, as opposed to I remember on my inhale, I forget myself for 30 years. Then I take another deep breath in and I remember myself and I get a huge rush, which is great. But there was a huge gap between the remembering and the forgetting. And so we want to start minding the gap of how many breaths between the remembering and the forgetting.
So I think this book for children is really, really important for all the indigo children who have been coming to the earth, those who may have come into families where they don't get a lot of support for those qualities, or those just be wonderful.
Absolutely. And a lot of the children are coming in and literally cannot tolerate discordant frequencies, which is why we see so much upset. And they're coming in breaking old paradigms and forcing us to find new ways of dealing. Now, some of those new ways that we're finding aren't the healthiest, and eventually we will find healthy ways of dealing with a higher frequency, higher coherence.
Mm-hmm. I have a granddaughter who just turned 10 last weekend who's had a lot of that. She just has had a terrible time adjusting to her outer world because of the things she finds discordant. And it's been my pleasure to be able to talk with her about these things, so I can imagine how much you're enjoying your work.
That's beautiful.
Well, talk to us about these gifts, abilities, and caretaking energy that we scatter. And I want to make note, too, that you talk about not only scattering it in this life, but in previous lives, in our history here on the planet. You're not talking about just me as I exist here today on this planet, but you're talking about me and all my energy throughout time.
All your incarnations, everything that you've experienced has actually taught you how to cultivate very particular qualities inside yourself in your inner river of light. And every single one of us, regardless as to whether or not you believe in previous incarnations or not, you as a soul have attained very particular inner gifts. And one of the ways to identify those inner gifts is to think about what you value. What are the qualities you really value? Is it that you're a good listener or patient or compassionate or kind? And recognizing that that which you value are your inner gifts. And the journey is not to be attached to anyone else in the world being that way, but for you to be that way deep inside yourself and model that in the world. Then you're actually using your gifts to support you, protect you, and you're that healthy co-creative teacher, creating a strong, coherent field of transformation in the physical realm and in the higher realms. And the piece with the sixth cup of you have gifts, wisdom, and mastery is to recognize, too, and I don't think I talk about this in the book, but I do in my daily meditations, that in a higher realm, you are being of service in the most beautiful way. And so allowing yourself to connect in with that higher floor and recognize that you are being of incredible service, incredible purpose, you are in your mastery. And then as you embrace that in that higher realm, you actually start reflecting that appropriate purpose, passion, and mastery into the physical plane, and you are pulsed accordingly and appropriately into right action, right livelihood.
And that ties in with cup number 7, the idea that and each one of us, that I'm perfect. That's very difficult for most of us to accept because we look at our human material lives and not at our higher energetic selves.
Right. The only place that you are perfect is your inner river of light. And so when we hold our awareness in that divine line and recognize the beautiful, exquisite light that's flowing there, and we realize that we are only perfect there, we only need to be perfect there, then we stop judging ourselves so intently. And I was actually having a conversation with my 9-year-old niece, and she said, well, I'm not perfect, no one's perfect. And I said, well, actually, you are perfect, but the only place you're perfect is in your inner river. Can you find your inner river of light? And I've been working with her since she was 2. So she was like, yeah. And I said, that's the only place you need to be perfect. Hold your perfect chips right there. And she's like, oh, okay. So when we find that internally, then the pressure of how we perform or what other people think of us really goes down.
Hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I've been able to do I don't know how long, well, since I was 50, so for the last 22 years, I used a very specific technique. I decided that I'd been afraid my whole life and I didn't want to continue being afraid. And I determined that when you're in fear, you're not in faith or trust. And so right. I developed a little device to move myself from fear to faith, which is to ask myself, what if I had a written guarantee from God that everything is going to work out and I'll be okay? Then where would I be focusing my attention? And once I did that, I stopped feeling fearful.
Beautiful.
And I think that that's what you're talking about too. You have a different way of doing it. Go to your higher self. But what you're still doing is asking people to go to the larger picture where the faith or trust is and not stay stuck in smallness. Is that
absolutely
accurate?
Yeah. And you're basically pulling from, or I'm pulling from one of your pages, that's the flip it. So fear, solution is trust. And then what we would do is we would lift all of the places that we think we need to trust off the outer world, and the only thing we need to trust is the beauty and the connection that we have with our light. I only trust the light that flows within me. I don't have to trust anything else. And then the fear actually goes away. And so it's about bringing it in and meeting our own inner needs deep in the core.
Well, that's been a wonderful demonstration for me. Last February, I went on a cruise with my sister and brother-in-law, and I did some things on my bucket list. I was 72 then, yes. Anyway, I went zip lining. I swam with a jaguar. I swam with dolphins. And some of those were situations of potential physical danger. And yeah. I expected that I might feel some fear, but I actually didn't feel a second of fear in any of those things, which was just remarkable. So I'm offering that as a a kind of a demonstration for what you're talking about, that once you shift into this higher self level of being, the things we normally struggle with, they just sort of disappear.
Yeah, and we actually then don't call it to us. So if we are in a place of fear, we'll create more fearful situations. But if we're in a place of deep inner trust or inner empowerment, inner support, those are the kind of scenarios that will magnetically draw to us.
Well, that explains a lot. I've certainly noticed that happening. Like when I travel, a lot of times people travel and they say they had terrible experiences, people were rude. Now I have people who are just incredibly wonderful to me. I come back from a trip going, wow, I really like it out there in the world.
That's great. You're holding the state of inner grace and it's being reflected to you.
It's really amazing. So, and this is what you're offering people, that they can start today learning how to do that. That's just,
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing to me. I think that's wonderful. It took me years, you know?
I know. And when I had that enlightenment experience, I was so frustrated because I was, you know, reading a ton of books and going to a bunch of seminars and working with a bunch of teachers, and everybody would give me these instructions, but it didn't really get me into the state that I was wanting and yearning for. And so I had to figure out, okay, what do I have to do, step one, step two, step three, step four, to really embody and create what I'm really wanting? And so the Seven Cups book really gives people those basic steps of try this, now see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, again, tested these concepts and all of these exercises literally in the field for over a decade and have found that they actually work.
Yes, how wonderful. What a fantastic gift. You must be happier than I can even imagine. I would be. I get all excited when I go, hey, somebody came into my office and they were all messed up and they were worried and I could help them. I really can help them. That's really wonderful. I can get them to what they need. And you
absolutely
do that. Yeah,
yeah,
it's really great.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah. So, sadly, it's time for us to stop, and I want to thank you for writing Seven Cups of Consciousness and for so graciously sharing your information with the world. And I think anyone who really wants to get in charge of connecting deeply with the higher realms both needs your information and will certainly benefit from it. Your website is cupsofconsciousness.com, and your book is Seven Cups of Consciousness, Change Your Life by Connecting to the Higher Realms. Thank you so much, Alea. I really have enjoyed talking with you, and thank you for being here on Full Power Living today.
I have as well, and thank you for the gracious state that you hold.
It's my pleasure, honestly, whatever it is. So join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Remember, October 29th, 9 a.m. Pacific time, I'll be talking with Fran Shaw, taking a different kind of look at enlightened living as we talk about her book, Lord Have Murphy. I look forward to laughing my way with you through this show. Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer today. Thank you so much, Robin. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Power Living with Eileen Dillon.